Still looking at Psalm 23, verse 3. He restoreth my soul. We've seen several things that are included in Him restoring our soul. We've seen that He makes us anew, draws us to Himself. There's the actual reviving of the heart and the soul. There's repentance and all the things that that entails. We see as a result of this repentance, there is forgiveness, which causes us to realize that our soul has been restored. In that forgiveness, again, it's illustrated in the prodigal son returning to the father. And you think of what the prodigal son experienced when he returned to his father. He experienced the closeness of his father. His father hugged him. In that, he experienced the father's love, his compassion, and he found acceptance with the father. All of that is part of restoration of soul. He no doubt experienced comfort. He experienced a peace and assurance. There was fellowship with the Father. There was joy or rejoicing. There was complete restoration. He was restored to his position in the Father's house. All of that is included in restoration of soul. So restoration of soul is a glorious thing. It's a wonderful thing. Now the process to get there may not be, but the end result, the Lord restoreth my soul, is always a wonderful thing. Also, restoration of soul involves spiritual refreshment. The Lord simply refreshes us. Notice in Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. It's refreshment. And there is a refreshment beyond definition in the restoring of the soul. Also, in restoring of the soul, there is the impartation of divine strength. Notice in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 through verse 31. He giveth power to the faint. We faint. We're about to faint sometimes. In those situations, we need strength. We need restoration. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. That's restoration of soul. It says, even the youths, that is, those who are in the best shape, and you can apply that spiritually, even they shall faint. No one's immune from fainting. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. That is, become exhausted, become fatigued, burn out, if you will. And the young men, again, the really strong, shall utterly fall or collapse. No one's above these things. No one's beyond the need of restoration. Then we have the advice to these who faint. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There's strength in just waiting upon God, restoration of soul. Then that's manifested. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run. That is, these very ones who were faint, who had no might, who became weary and fell, they mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk. Continuous process and not faint. So again, all of that is restoration of soul. We've all experienced more than once, time and time again, restoration of soul. He restoreth my soul. Again, a continuous process, which again shows us the great long-suffering of God. He restores us over and over and over again. And how thankful we ought to be that He does. So we want to consider the work of the shepherd in restoring the soul. And again, He restoreth my soul. It's his work. We don't restore our own soul. And if there's a time when you think you do, it won't last. He restoreth my soul. How does He do that? Well, the Lord can and does use a variety of means in bringing about the restoration of the soul. That is, God is not limited to one or two means in restoring our soul. We must never get in the box, well, this is how God did it for me, so if He's going to do it for you, that's how He's got to do it. That's putting God in a box. That's putting great limitations upon God. And you think about it. All the times the Lord has restored your soul, did He do it the same way every time? Did He use the same means every single time? No. He uses a variety of means in restoring the soul. Some He uses more than others. No question about that. But He uses a variety of means in restoring our soul. And that's one of the exciting things about the Lord. You know He's going to accomplish what He said He would accomplish. But you don't know how He's going to do it. That's completely up to Him. But He restoreth my soul. And He has a variety of means in which He uses. And we want to consider some of those means. Perhaps one of the most obvious is the Lord uses His Word in bringing about restoration of soul. And when we say God uses His Word, we're including the read Word, the heard Word, the recalled Word of God. Again, a person may not have read or heard the Word of God for months. But if they ever heard it, the Lord can bring it to their memory. And the recalled word of God, many times God uses to restore a soul. So he uses his word, not just in one way. Again, you can be reading God's word, and God can restore your soul. You can be hearing God's word, whether it be by sitting in a congregation, or whether it be in your car, or wherever. There's no limit. You can hear the word and be restored. And like I said, you may have thought that you've gotten away from the word of God, and God can bring it to your memory. He restores our soul. The word of God is designed. One of the designs of the word of God is to bring about restoration of soul. So God uses his word. He uses his word to instruct us. Many times that instruction restores our soul. He uses his word to encourage us. And again, many times that encouragement restores our soul. He can use the word of God to strengthen us. And again, that's part of restoration. He can use God's word to comfort us. And many times he uses comfort to bring about restoration of soul. He can use the word of God. He does use the word of God to heal, not speaking physically, but spiritually, emotionally, mentally. God can use his word to bring about healing. He uses his word to impart many things, all of these that we're mentioning. He can use his word to convict. Whether the word of God be read, whether it be heard, or whether it be recalled, God's word can drive you to your knees in an instant. It can convict. That's restoration of soul. He uses his word, it's designed to humble the individual, to guide us, to give us some enlightenment. How many times God shows you a scripture that you've read 1,000 times, but he gives you some enlightenment on that particular scripture and your soul is restored. There's a joy. There's a pleasure. God uses his word to reveal. To reveal ourselves. To reveal our circumstances and situations. Most important, though, to reveal himself. To display himself. God uses his word to uncover. To uncover sin. To uncover what is wrong with us. To uncover glorious truths. God uses his word to warn us, which also can be used in restoration. God uses his word to give us hope. How many times people have given up hope? And whether they read the word or hear the word or recall the word, hope is restored. That's restoration of soul. God uses his word to give us assurance. God's people can lose their sense of assurance. And I'm not just talking about assurance of salvation. I'm talking about the assurance of who God is and what God has promised. And God uses his word to bring assurance. God uses his word to help us mark, to help us measure where we are spiritually. All of these things are part of restoration. And the things that we've mentioned are methods that God uses to bring about restoration of soul. But the means that he uses many times is his word. The word of God. The word of God. And I'm glad that people can get in such terrible spiritual condition that they no longer read God's word. They no longer have a desire to read it. They no longer have a desire to hear it. But if they ever have read it, if they ever have heard it, God can cause them to recall it. And restoration process begins. Notice in Psalm 19, it is declared here in Psalm 19, verses 7 through 9, that God reveals himself in his word. God expresses himself in his word. And that revealing and that expression has an impact upon his people. And it results in restoration of soul. Psalm 19, verse 7. He tells us the characteristics of God's word in each of these verses. That's not our point this morning. Our point is what God uses his word for. In verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. That's a characteristic. But it does something. Converting the soul. It converts, it turns the soul. It turns the soul around. That's part of restoration of soul. God can and does use his word to convert, to transform the inner or whole person. Converting the soul. Converting the soul. That's the inner, the whole person. And that's what God's interested in. He's not interested in just a mere act, but the whole person, the inner being of an individual. And the Word of God converts the soul. It also says that the testimony of the Lord is sure. Again, a characteristic of God's word. And it does something. Making wise the simple. And notice these are continuous. Converting the soul continues to do that. And it maketh making continuous wise the simple. God can and does use his word to bring about wisdom in living. Wisdom in living. The world has their definition of wisdom. The Bible has its definition of wisdom. And I'll take the Bible's definition over the world's definition any time. The Bible does not say this is wisdom. But all through the Word of God, wisdom is being like Christ. Christ is the wisdom of God. We read in 1 Corinthians. So wisdom is being in accord with the Word of God. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. It's foolishness to be in discord with the Word of God. The statutes of the Lord are right. Again, a characteristic. They're always right. Rejoicing the heart. For the child of God, what's right rejoices the heart. God uses His Word to bring rejoicing to the heart. To the heart, again, we're dealing with the inner person. The whole being of man, God, again, is not interested in the superficial. Man is, but God isn't. Rejoicing the heart. In other words, God can, and He does, use His Word to bring about inward happiness and delight, which is part of the restoration of soul. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Again, a characteristic of God's Word. But notice what it does. Enlightening the eyes. So God can and God does use His Word to bring about clarity. Enlightening the eyes. There's clarity. We see clearly. That's part of restoration of soul. It is God's Word that unveils truth and makes clear distinction between right and wrong. It enlightens the eyes. The opinions of man do not restore the soul. God's Word enlightens our eyes, gives us clarity. Clarity in how we see, clarity in how we think. And how we see reflects how we think. So, God uses His Word to bring restoration of soul. There's a couple of examples in the Bible of God using His Word to bring about restoration of soul. We think in particular of Jeremiah. And on two different occasions that are recorded, there may have been more, but two different occasions recorded in the life of Jeremiah, where God used the Word of God to bring restoration to the soul of Jeremiah. Again, even the youths shall faint. Even the young men shall fall. Jeremiah was a man of God. Jeremiah was a spiritual giant. But Jeremiah needed restoration of soul. On more than one occasion, Jeremiah fainted. Jeremiah fell. And God used His Word to bring restoration of soul. Don't ever be bashful about when you deal with somebody who needs restoration of soul. Don't be bashful or ashamed to use the Word of God. It's what God uses to bring restoration of soul. Well, they won't listen to that. It got in their ear. You don't know when they might recall it. And just leave that with God. Just leave it with the Lord. God has and does use His Word to bring about restoration of soul. In Jeremiah chapter 14, Jeremiah is in the land of Judah. From verses 2 through 6, we see that it was a time of great famine. And in verses 7 through 9, Jeremiah is seen fervently and earnestly praying for the people. And in verses 10 through 12, God answers Jeremiah, but it's not the answer that Jeremiah was hoping for. God's answer is that He would continue to pour out His judgment upon the land. And He even tells Jeremiah, don't even bother praying for this people. you can stop praying for them. I am going to judge them. I am going to bring them into captivity. In chapter 15, verses 1 through 9, God reiterates to Jeremiah that he will continue to pour out his judgment upon the people, bringing them to ruin. Again, this is not what Jeremiah wanted to hear. And Jeremiah then is seen in great distress. Not one, because of what God has told him. Two, because of the ongoing hatred of his persecutors toward him. Notice in verses 11 through 14, God assures Jeremiah of protection. And again, he tells him, even though I will protect you, desolation is coming. I am judging these people. There's no getting around it. Judgment is going to fall upon this people. Well, what if they repent? Judgment's going to fall on this people. God's made up his mind, for lack of a better way to put it. Judgment is going to come. So much so that he again tells Jeremiah, don't even pray for them. Says it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter. United States, if they're not there, if we're not there, we're mighty close. In verse 15, Jeremiah, again in great distress of soul, is praying. And he says, O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. But he's in distress of soul. And in verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Thy words were found. What does that mean? Does that mean that Jeremiah sat down and read the scrolls? Could. I doubt it. Does it mean that he found them in his mind, in his memory? They were recalled. That's more likely the case. But it doesn't really matter. The Word of God became a source of strength, became a source of comfort, became a source of help and encouragement to this time in great trial. And God used His Word to restore the soul of Jeremiah. And God can, and God does still, use His Word to bring restoration of soul. Again, God is not limited to His means. God can use just about anything to bring about this restoration of soul. But one of the things He uses quite often is His Word. He restoreth my soul. And He does so many, many times by simply using His Word. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do again thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for Your goodness to us. We do thank You, Lord, that You are the great restorer of souls. Lord, that you do continually restore our own souls. We thank you for that. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to always keep our eyes upon thee. Lord, we pray today that you would help us to worship you in a way that would bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, that you would help us to put everything out of our minds that would interfere with our worship of you. That you would meet with us today, that you'd speak to those who are lost, that you would save their souls, draw each one of us closer to thee. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.